Pastor asked me to teach this morning, and I am thrilled to be up here. Pray for me because I get nervous when I start. And if you were up here, and you'd be nervous too. The name of this lesson is "The Beast Is Coming Soon," or "The Soon Coming Beast." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest." We're to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be troubled by everything that's going on and what you're going to hear today. Don't let it trouble you. Get excited and rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fires, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with the everlasting destructions from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimonies among you was believed in that day." And we're to get excited about the time that we're living in. And man, is it getting exciting. Every day you look at the news and you go, how much longer can it last? Not much longer. Christianity is just about to run its course. It's about finished. People do not believe in the Word of God anymore. People don't believe in God. They believe in everything but God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as of the words of men, but as of the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." It's all about the word of God. And if you're a Christian, and I pray that you are, you need to read the Word of God. You need to study it. And it's not just enough to read the Word of God. You need to study it. And when you read the Word of God, I think it's the best thing you can do is put out everything everyone's ever told you about the Word of God. Put it out of your mind and read the words. Because a lot of times we have preconceived ideas of what this word means. And we've heard preachers preach and say, "Well, I know what that means, so I'll just skip over it." But read it. We're going to be looking at Judas today. But before we go there, I'd like to give a little headline news of what's going on in the world. Not to depress you, but to get you excited about how close we are to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And the first thing I pray when I bow my head down is, "Lord, we're living in perilous times. Protect my children and my wife and myself and our home. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." And man, do we live in, I mean, that describes about the whole world right now. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and man, are they. I mean, watch the news. People are just killing people left and right, shooting. There's a lady this morning on Fox News that killed her three little children. Murdered 2, 3, and 4, I think. Butchered them. The devil's alive and well in America. Luke chapter 9, verse 25 says, "For what is a man's advantage if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be a castaway?" This world worships sex, entertainment. It worships music, money, and power, and whatever. But it has no knowledge of God, no fear of God anymore. We're seeing what a world is like that does not know Jesus Christ. After 9/11, we started losing our freedoms. We started losing our privacy. You have no privacy anymore. Year after year, the news media propagates the news to put fear in the hearts of people. We're like a frog that's in a pan of water on a stove. It's cold, the frog is comfortable, but they start turning up the heat, and before you know it, the frog is boiled alive. That's America today. We're so desensitized to what is going on, we don't even know how close we are to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When your government has a philosophy, a good crisis should never go to waste. We're in trouble. The power is in the people, not in the government, but we've given them power over us. We've let them force us into complying to all these ridiculous rules. I watched a news article the other day, and it was talking about the pollen in the air and the smoke, and they said, well, it's awful, and it shouldn't, you know, it hurts people with respiratory problems. But don't wear a mask, because a mask won't do you any good. Now, if you look at the particles of dust and pollen and smoke, a virus is 1,000 times smaller than that. I rest my case. The virus is used to test the world to see how far along we are to complying with fear. Churches close their doors. People stay home. Schools allow children. A church in Canada the other day that was trying to meet Wednesday, they came to their church and they found it fenced. The government came in and fenced the church. They put a fence around it. They can't get in. John chapter 16, verse 2 says, "They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh, and whosoever killeth you will think they do God's service." And man, are we there? The number of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, floods, forest fires, uprising, protests, it's all over the world, but they're not covering that on the news. You have to look for it. The United Nations Assembly proclaimed February 4th International Day of Human Fraternity. And they also welcomed in Global Christulum. They're trying to force Christianity out and Islam in. COVID passports are being talked about and put in place in many countries like Israel, where you have to have your phone has to have a passport on it in order for you to go into a grocery store, go to work, or travel. And they're talking also about putting a mark inside your body so that they can have, you can have it anywhere you want to go without your phone. Chinese government is changing currency into digital currency, and they're trying to get rid of the dollar. The Great Reset, you hear this on the news all the time. The Great Reset means that they're going to take everything you got, including your property and your homes, and put you where they want you to be. The Great Reset is being propagated by the same people that gave you COVID-19, the lockdowns, economic crash, mandatory mask wearing, riots, race riots, Antifa, ID 2020, Bill Gates, Black Lives Matter. Declaration of Human Fraternity, Chrysalis, and on it goes. It's all about fear, and it's all about control, and it's all about depopulation. And if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to return. They're calling this the fourth industrial revolution with AI and robots. Hitler called it Third Reich. So why did they go fourth? Might as well. Ask yourselves this question, and I'm sure you've seen it on the news. Why are men in South America taking children away from their parents, bringing them to the border, throwing them over a 14, 15-foot fence, dropping them onto the other side, and letting these little children wander around in the wilderness by themselves? Watch the 3- and 5-year-old dropped. Seen a little boy about 9 years old wandering around on a road looking for help. And he cried when they came to him, and he cried for that they would help him. Why are Satanists making music and videos that our children are watching, making fun of the fact that they're abusing children and getting by with it? And if you don't think that's going on, you're not informed. These children are being our sexual slaves when they come into this country. And it's going on right under your nose, and you don't even know it. Why does the government believe Christians are terrorists and Black Lives Matter and Antifa are good people that burn and pillage and rape and murder? Because it means order out of chaos. That's what they want. That's their slogan. Order out of chaos. Create as much disorder and chaos, and you can bring in a new world order. This is all to reveal the coming beast of Revelation chapter 6. Like I said, we're going to talk about Judas. There are 18 antichrists in the Bible. From Cain all the way down to Judas. Judas is fascinating. I've studied the hound out of Judas. And I come to the conclusion, now this is what I teach, I want you to go home and study yourself. Because don't trust anybody. Don't even trust me. I'm not to be trusted. I'm just a man just like everyone else. I can misread something just like anyone else can. But we're going to give you some stuff on Judas Iscariot. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow. And I've talked about this bow before. And a crown was given to him, and when he went forth conquering and to conquer. When you look at this man, he is a counterfeit Christ. And he has a bow. And I've heard people say, well, you know, it's a bow like you shoot arrows and stuff. Because he's going to go and conquer. But what have we been seeing for the last several years? We've been seeing the LGBTQRSTUV group conquering without anything except a little rainbow. Okay? So get that in your head. So when he comes, is he going to be connected to that? In Revelation, and remember, he's a counterfeit Christ. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, it talks about Jesus Christ laying claim to this earth and declaring time no more. And it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a bow. It's on his head. It declares his deity. The Antichrist has a bow on his, we don't know where it's at. It could be a bow. Shape, it could be a ring. I don't know. But I do know one thing. Daniel chapter 11 verse 37 says something about the Antichrist. It says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. He's going to be a little different. And I touched on this last time I taught. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 20, it says, then shall stand up, and this talks about before the Antichrist comes up, when then shall stand up in his estate a riser of taxes. And I talked about that global tax. It's going to be called a climate tax or a carbon tax. Carbon has the atomic number of 666. Six electrons, six neutrons, and six protons. That's the number. Isn't that a coincidence? In the glory of his kingdom, but within a few days he shall destroy, neither by anger nor by battle. So here, the guy's going to raise taxes and people are going to be disgruntled. And here comes a vile person. A vile person. And he comes in with flatteries. And he takes the kingdoms by flattery. Man, we've seen a lot of that here lately. I mean, we thought that we had a president that was going to conquer and do all these great things, and where is he? And this vile person shall stand up, the rest of the verse, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peacefully and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Doesn't say anything about using a bow or anything like that, just flatteries. Daniel chapter 11, 38 says, but in his estate shall the honor of the gods of forces. We're being set up, people. Star Wars is all about the force be with you. And everybody thought, oh boy, that's really exciting. You know, that's really neat. But it's indoctrinating, and now it's a religion. One of the Lord's disciples that is probably all through the New Testament in the four Gospels, and he's described as the man who betrayed Christ. His name is Judas Iscariot. And I've heard a lot of sermons about this, and you know, I had my blinders on for a long time looking at this guy. And I believe that, you know, that he was just an ordinary person. But after studying the Bible, I realized that there's two seeds out there. Satan has a seed. And for 18 times in the Bible, it talks about the Antichrist, but it also talks about this Moabite. And it talks about Esau, and it talks about Edom. And God has nothing good to say about these countries, and they're all basically right in the same areas as where Jordan's located right now. In Matthew chapter 26, 24, it says, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man, the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better, it had been good for that man to not, had not been born. It had been better if Judas Iscariot had not been born." So who is Judas Iscariot? John chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "Jesus answered and answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" It doesn't say he became a devil. It doesn't say he was possessed by the devil. It says he is a devil. Something different about Judas. You study the scriptures, and, you know, God comes to Peter, James, and John and talks to them, and they follow him, and he talks to Nathaniel with no guile, and he goes to the different disciples, and but where did Judas come in? He just shows up. He's like a bad penny that just kind of worked its way into the pile. Judas Iscariot, the man of Kerioth. That's what Iscariot means, the man of Kerioth. You'll find this in Jeremiah chapter 48. Moab in this chapter is mentioned 33 times. It's stated over 197 times throughout the Bible. God wants you to see something about Moab. Did you know Herod? King Herod was a Moabite or an Edomite. It's all the same stuff. They all mixed together. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 24 says, "And there was some good people that came out of Moabite, Moab. Ruth was one of them. So not all of them are bad. But there's something going on in Moab." In Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 24, it says, "Upon the Kerioth, and upon Boazer, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near, the horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken." Who else has a broken arm? Well, that's the Antichrist. "Saith the Lord, he make ye him drunken, for he magnify himself against the Lord. Moab also shall be wallow in his vomit, and he shall be in derision." That's the way America is right now. We're in derision. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 41 says, "Kerioth is taken, the strongholds are surprised, and the mighty men's hearts in Moab, at the day shall be as the heart of women in pangs." God's going to destroy Moab. But that is the one place that the Antichrist cannot conquer. Why? Because that's where Petra is located. And God is going to drive the Jews into Petra. And he won't be able to conquer that area. Isn't that amazing? We have a great God. Judas Iscariot's family is with all the cursed people. Esau, Moab. Moab, of course, is the offspring of Lot's ancestral relationship with his daughters. When you get to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, it talks about Moab. In verse 22, they have lion-like men. And you find that, and you'll find that again in the book of Joshua. But there's something going on in Moab. Something devilish. John chapter 6, verse 70, again. I have chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Judas is a half-breed Jew. Judas carried the money bag. He said, in John chapter 12, verse 6, he said, not that he careth for the poor, but because he was a thief. So he's a devil, he's a thief, he's a liar, and he's a betrayer. Not a good person to be around. And he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And had a bag and bear that was within. When you get to Ezekiel chapter 28, and you find out what caused Satan to fall, in verse 16 it says, by the multitude of thy merchandise. Satan was corrupted by what he had and all the glorious things, and he had all the money in the world, so now he wanted worship. When rich people get rich beyond means, what do they want now? I want power. I want people to bow at my feet. Titus chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. John chapter 13, verse 10. Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples. And he says, and he was, they were saying, we're clean. You know, he said, well, you're clean, but not all of you. And he was talking about Judas Iscariot, because he knew he was going to betray him. John chapter 13, verse 10. Judas was not possessed by the devil. He was a devil. John chapter 13, verse 26. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I give the sop. He knew exactly who was going. He was at the dinner table. And he said, John, beloved John, asked him, says, who's going to betray you? He says, you watch whoever I give the sop to. So he took a piece of bread, put it in a gravy, pulled it out, and handed it to Judas. Now watch what happens to Judas. And when he gave the sop, he dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Jesus gave the sop. Sop, S-O-P. And if you're a Ruckmanite, you know this. S-O-P, son of perdition. That's an acronym. Son of perdition, son of the destroyer. Son of the destroyer, the seed of Satan. There's only one person that's called that in the New Testament until you get to Revelations, and that's a title for the Antichrist. John chapter 13, verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou dost do it quickly. Now I want you to look at this, and I'm going to open up some eyes here. You got Judas over here, been 3.5 years with Jesus, walked with him, talked with him, carried the money, heard him preach, saw the miracles, and he was a devil. But when he took the sop, Satan came down and entered him. When you get over here in Revelations to the Antichrist, you have 3.5 years the Antichrist rules on this earth. Then he gets killed and he dies. Satan is cast out of heaven, comes down, and enters into the Antichrist, and he rises up. Coincidence? Or a pattern? Think about it. Nothing is by chance. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of the Lord of our Christ, of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night." So Satan is cast down to the earth, and all, and excuse the expression, all hell breaks loose. Hell on earth. And I have, you know, when you write people, they say, "Well, I think that this is the only hell that we'll ever experience." No. If you're without Jesus Christ, there's a worse one to come. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, it says, "Then one of the 12, which is Judas Iscariot, went to the high priest, or chief priest, and said unto them, What wilt thou give me if I deliver him unto you?" And the covetous, with him 40 pieces of silver. Or 30 pieces of silver, excuse me. Judas knows where Jesus is going to be. It's already been pre-planned. He knew exactly where Jesus would be in Gethsemane, praying. John 18:2. "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, and he went there," in Luke chapter 22, verse 48, "but Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" You know, when you look at this word kiss, you think, well, you know, we kiss your wife and stuff. But in this demonic religions and these demonic people and these Satanists and stuff, they're always kissing. Now, don't ever expect that to happen in Temple Baptist Church, because I don't want to kiss nobody but my wife. And sometimes when she's mad at me, I don't want to kiss her then either. But if you look at the Roman Catholic Church, you look at all these different religions, there's a lot of kissing. Kissing rings, kissing babies, kissing, you know, whatever. So that's a good sign of a religion to stay away from. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of an enemy are deceitful." The wound of my friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he carries my wounds on his hands and his feet and his side. But Satan might try to kiss up to you, as they say, but he's only doing it for your defeat. In John chapter 17, verse 12, it says, "While I was with him in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition." That's the second time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, I believe the word of God. I believe every word of it. And if you want to try to tell me that, you know, that's not what it says, and you got to take this word over here, and then you got to take this word over here, and you got to go to the Greek, and you got to go to the Hebrew, all I need is this King James 1611 Bible to tell me what I believe. But you say, "Judas repented." You're going to love this. I hope. I want you to meditate on it. Verse 27. And then Judas, Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. Now, what did Satan do at the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry when he was in the wilderness? He says, all the kingdom, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, I'll give you all this. All this. All you have to do is get down and worship me. And Jesus Christ replied, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And rebuked him and he left. But then you got Judas, a devil. He doesn't have the good of Christ in mind. And you know why he wanted to give, you know why the devil wanted to give Jesus Christ the kingdoms of the world? Because you would never, you'd be still lost in your sins. You'd be on your way to hell. You'd have to be relying on your works. But Jesus would be ruling and reigning in righteousness. But you'd be lost. You wouldn't have the right to be called the sons of God. So Judas tries to go at it another angle. So he takes Jesus, he goes to the Sanhedrin and makes a deal with them. He says, I'll betray you, but I have to turn him over and force the issue and force the Sanhedrin to realize that this is the Son of God and put him as king, and then the kingdom of heaven would come into existence without the kingdom of God. And Satan would not be destroyed and he would not go to hell. It makes sense to me. He says, when he saw that he was condemned, wait a minute, if he's condemned, then I get my head crushed and I go to hell and a fire is going to consume me and I'm going to be burned in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That's not a good thing. So he repented himself. You go through the Bible and look up that word repent. God repented himself a lot in the Old Testament. But didn't change nothing. Satan wanted to give the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven to God, to Jesus Christ, to save his own tail. The devil is only a tool in the hand of God. Whatever the devil means for evil, God means it for good. Don't ever forget that. God Almighty is in control. And he uses Satan just like a little puppet. You know, he thinks he's doing his own will, but he's not. Every word in the Bible is going to be fulfilled from the first letter in the Bible to the last letter in the Bible. It's all going to be fulfilled in your King James 1611 fully loaded Bible. Matthew chapter 27 verse 4, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed an innocent blood. Remember, he's a liar. And he said, what is that to us? See thou. To that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hung himself. Every satanic possessed person who does something evil will kill themselves. You see it a lot. I didn't watch the guy. I found him. But he was hanging by his neck. And the guy I was with tried to grab his legs and pull him down. I thought, no, 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 don't do that. But he was possessed. This guy was possessed. And I can't tell you everything about this guy, but he was possessed. He is a murderer. But he went in verse 5 in Acts chapter 1 verse 25. It says that he may take part in the ministry of the apostles, talking about making a new apostle because there's only 11 now and they wanted 12, which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. You know, when you talk about hell, you don't want to go to, it's not, you don't want to consider hell your place. Heaven is not your place, that's where God dwells. And I want to be with God. But Satan, or Judas, went back to his own place after he hung himself. So what does that mean? That means that Satan went back down to the pit where he came from. And he's residing there until the time that he comes out of the pit. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. It doesn't say keys, it says key of the bottomless pit. He's going to open this thing up. Now, CERN Switzerland thinks that they're going to try to open this pit up because they planted this plant that was built. They started building it before I was born. In fact, it was the same month that I was born. They started on this thing. It's called CERNs. It's a super hydrogen collider, 17 miles round, and they collide particles, and they're trying to open up a vortex, and they're trying to create black matter, and they're trying to create all these evil things. And they're seeing, when they open these vortexes, they're seeing things inside those vortexes. My son works with a guy that his father is over it. And he says, all that's true. So I'm not feeding you a line. But this hydrogen collider, they're trying to open the pits of hell, because this collider was set right on top of a Roman temple dedicated to Apollyon, the god of destruction, who was cast out of heaven into the pit. You can't make this stuff up. The Bible's true, and all men are liars, and what's coming is going to surprise everyone. Verse 17, and the beast that I saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Here's that word again. And they shall that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Was not and yet is. Was not and yet is. Was not and yet is. He was and he's coming back. Judas Iscariot was a counterfeit Christ, and he might be the Antichrist. Not in the same body. Probably a reincarnation, but it'll have the same goals. Matthew chapter 26, verse 50. And Jesus answered, or said unto him, friend. He called Judas friend. Well, that just makes all the difference in the world. He called him friend. I'll tell you something about our Lord and Savior. He's a gracious God. No one is a threat to him. He's an all-powerful being. I can call my worst enemy, if I have all the power in the world, friend. When you look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 12, it's talking about the parable of the wedding. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? When you get saved, God gives you a garment. You're clothed in his righteousness. Here's a man that he calls friend that doesn't have a garment. If you're not born again Christian, you're an enemy of God. You need to get saved and become a friend of God. And he said he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Simple as that. Without Jesus Christ, you will be bound up and cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Without Jesus Christ, you stand no chance. We're living in an age that people think that they can live any way they want to, do anything they want, and still get away and talk their way into heaven. When you are born again, you're to live like you're a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't disgrace him. Don't lose your rewards. We're about to go home. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, it scares me to death to think of someone going to hell. I've seen people killed and I've seen people stabbed, but nothing comes close to seeing someone burning in hell forever and ever with no help. Crying and screaming, but no help. Lord, I pray for those souls today. I pray that Brother McNeese has the power of God on him and that he preaches the word and lives are changed and souls are saved. Lord, help us. For we ask in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.